come. Let us go to the mountain of God, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths. Amen. Quite by accident this week, I ran across a quote by Martin Luther. It is nearly impossible to overestimate God's grace, for he is like a glowing oven full of love reaching from earth to heaven. Well, all of our scriptures this morning are filled with accents of the glowing grace of God. Rather than the metaphor of an oven, however, the Bible accounts use agrarian metaphors with water and crops and plentiful harvests and abundant flocks. The Isaiah passage reminds us that God cares for the land and the trees with gentle rains and snows to water and nourish the earth. Psalm 65 is an echo to the Isaiah passage, comparing God's grace to a river that never stops flowing. And this was a waterfall we saw up by Lake Tahoe that never stopped flowing the whole time we were there. The passage which shines the most, however, Romans 8. It shines brightly about the grace of God. And so your assignment this week, every once in a while I give you an assignment, I expect that you will carry these out and do them. Your assignment this week is to go home and read this whole chapter, because it is one of the Bible texts that has the best a summary of the good news of the gospel. And verse 1 sums it up. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. God in Christ Jesus fulfilled the just requirements of the law for us. When God saw that we were not able to live according to the law, God sent someone who would be able to do that in our stead. And this is a picture of the ragman, the one who comes and trades new rags for old. With all the love of God and in great and compassionate wisdom and strength, Christ, the Word of God, took on our nature and became one of us. Christ, the wisdom and Word of God, became human by taking on flesh and blood and taking it into the Godhead, in order that all righteousness might come to full fruit for the sake of humans everywhere. God saw our inability to break away from rebelling against God and sent one who was able to overcome the failures of human efforts and weakness. In a happy exchange, a joyful exchange, God sent all his righteousness in exchange for all our sinfulness and failings. In a sweet swap, the love of God took up all the failings of human shortcomings and imperfections and replaced those limitations with the unlimited mercy and grace of the righteous new human. The old Adam and Eve are transformed by the new Adam and Eve. The old is passing away. The new is coming upon us. Romans reminds us that we are being transformed by the gracious love of God. We do not have to remain as we are in our flesh, but rather we may live in the Spirit of God, gifted to us at holy baptism, so that we may live a life in the Spirit who dwells in us, as God's Word comes to us through the marvelous grace of God's Word and sacrament. We are not of the flesh any longer, but of the Spirit. Christ is in us, and because that Spirit is God's Spirit, it does not consign us to death, but rather life. Life everlasting, life abundant. For the one who raised Jesus from the dead is the very same one who dwells in you. And since Christ was raised, so also that same Spirit guarantees to raise you as well. Not for your sake, but for the sake of the righteousness of Christ, which is transforming you from the one degree of glory to another. We are already children of God who live not by the flesh, which is dying, but by the Spirit of life, who came to renew us by the Holy Spirit through the washing of regeneration. In other words, we don't have to wait around for the second coming to be God's people. We are already heirs of God's grace and mercy. We are already abiding in the Spirit of Christ. So what is preventing us from living out the fullness of that life in peace right now? Romans tells us that that reality is already transforming our lives, even as we live and move and secure our being. The Spirit is already part of our identity as God's people. It is the gift of God which unites us with God and shapes us into God's holy people, set apart for the spreading of God's mercy and grace and love to all the earth, not only humanity, but the rest of creation as well. The gospel adds to this picture of God's care for us and the world. The parable of the sower shows that not all seeds come to full fruition. Yet even in this parable, where three of the four soils do not yield the bountiful harvest, God's grace is present nonetheless. The fact is that most of the soils are the good soils. It's only the small parts, the soils around the edges and on the peripheries of the field, that are filled with weeds and rocks and all those kinds of things. Yet even in these spots, God's word is cast upon the ground in the hope of a potential harvest. Moreover, if we amend the soils, even rough soil can be improved. Rocky soil may be added to, weeds may be removed, birds may be scared away. God is a skillful farmer who knows how to work the land. Jesus is the righteous farmer who tends the crop from planting through harvest. The Spirit has entered our very lives to change us from within in order that we might be filled with life and peace. If we look again to the words of Isaiah and the psalmist, we see the abundant harvest of God's grace, and that it is not limited to the field, but it also extends to the hillsides and the forests and the pastures beyond as well. Isaiah says, "For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen. Just a reminder as we go into our hymn, there is an error, but it is correct on the screen, hymn 679.